You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
Life is tough, and we need God. God is everything. He's the giver of every good thing, every good gift, and we forget so quickly, and we get distracted. We use our own brains to try and figure things out, and we mess things up, right? That's where the people are, the crowds are around Jesus when we jump into chapter 6. To kind of talk about where we've been in chapter 6 so far, remember this is the chapter where he feeds 5,000 men, plus probably like 4,000, 5,000 women, because men like women, they travel sometimes together. And then if men and women get together, a lot of times they have families, so there's kids. So even though the Bible says he fed 5,000, that's usually just talking about the men. There could have been 9, 10, 12,000 people there. And if you don't know, the miracle is, he's like, guys, what do you have to eat? The disciples are like, tell them to go somewhere. Go to the next restaurant. It's 2,000 years ago, right? Go to the next restaurant, whatever. And they're in the middle of nowhere. And so Jesus says, have them sit down. Let's gather what we have. And one kid brings a couple fish and a couple loaves. And Jesus is like, sit them down. Let's feed them. Here we go. And he feeds like 10, 12,000 people. I don't know the exact number. Real quick, a little bit of fun math. I tried to figure out about how many slices of pizza a man would eat, a woman would eat, and kids would eat. And I came up with rough estimate. This is a Parsio estimate. But he probably had to order about 3,750 pizzas if he was going to order that. Just so it's a fun little fact about that. Because I was like, how big of a deal is that, Lord? If we were going to throw a party with 10,000 people, what's going on? And so I did the math. Literally, I think it was like $10,000 worth of pizza. And then that my mind went to, man, if ordering two or three pizzas takes 30 minutes, how long does 3,750 take? Like, what would the restaurant do? What would, you know, Domino's do? Like, you want what? Bro, you got to give me a month to figure that out. And Jesus just did it, boom. That might be part of the miracle, too. He fed 10,000 people like that. And then a little bit later in the chapter, he says something crazy. Oh, he sends the disciples out into the water to row, and they're rowing for hours and hours and hours into the night. And then it gets stormy, so now they're really freaking out. And this is the chapter where Jesus walks on water. I don't know if you know, but that's incredible. Most people can't do that. And so they freak out, and he's like, and then he calms the waves and the wind like nobody else can. I don't know if you can do that. If you can, please talk to me afterwards, because that's cool. But just miraculous, miraculous stuff. And if the crowds are paying attention, you should recognize, okay, normal people can't feed 10,000 people with two fish and a couple loaves of bread. It's literally impossible, right? And most people cannot walk on water. That's just not how science works. That's not how water works. And yet, here's this guy doing things miraculously. So if you're paying attention, I would hope that that's the conclusion I'd come to. This guy, there's something special about him. Whatever he says, I'm at least going to listen. But the crowds, and I would be in the crowd. You would be in the crowd, right? We'd be right there. Mob mentality happens. And God, and Jesus is saying things that are, at the time, absolutely crazy. So before I get into what he says that is absolutely crazy, because Jesus is kind of a rebel here, before I share with you what he says, there's an important question that we have to kind of chew on, kind of deal with, and that is, are you willing to let God change you? Are you willing to let God change you? All of us get stuck in our lives, and we have certain ways that we do things, and when God calls you to do something different, to become somebody else, there's places where God just says, that's not your name anymore, right? Darren, your name's not Darren anymore. It's Chuck. That's what it is. I'm just doing that right now. Leah, you're not Leah, you're Sandy. You know, you're Chip. Like, I just started naming people. And you just got to go with it because it's God. That's crazy. I'd be like, you know how much identification I have to change, Lord? That's going to take a lot of time. Can we just make it a nickname? Can we just, and we start dealing with God. We start dealing with God. Maybe not change it on all of them, just on my school ID. Because that's easy. I just go to the office, they do it. But Social Security, Lord, that's tough. That's going to take years of work. So we start dealing and we start trying to negotiate with God. No. Jesus is going to say things to you, whether it's audibly, whether it's in a dream, whether it's through somebody, whether you're just figuring it out through circumstances. God is changing your life. Are you willing to let God change you? Not in your timing, in his timing. Not in your ways, in his ways.
Right.
That is hard. That is the hardest part about being a Christian. Because we like what we like. We do things the way we do. Right? Mm-hmm. So for you to come in and say, hey, we're going to do this a little bit differently. Like sometimes you probably don't even notice, but we'll do little tweaks. There was one today, if you didn't notice. But we do little tweaks. And that messes us up. The people that do setup, like, whoa, what was it? And are you just going to go with the flow and be like, okay, well, if that's what happens, Lord, help me to be great, you know. Or are you going to fight? You're going to argue with God? You're going to go against? You just got to start slowing down and saying, God, you know this is tough. You can be honest with God. He's a big boy, okay? Be honest with God and say, it's tough for me, but I know that you are God, and I'm your kid. You're my boss, right? That's the commitment you make when you become a Christian. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. We've messed up. He didn't mess up. And the wages in his death, so we don't deserve to go to heaven, right? So he had to die on the cross. He paid the price. And then we say, God, I believe all that happened, and so you be the king of my life. You be the boss of my life. So listen to what you're saying. You be the boss of my life. How many times do you have to go to the boss and he says, hey, I need you to do this? And you're like, no, I think today I'm going to do this. That's not how bosses and employees work. Right? As sinners, sometimes that's how we want to go in there. And sometimes, sorry, Andy, I will memorize the script someday. I have a couple bosses in the room, so I have to kind of... But again, we are a church of grace. Amen. Oh, get back on track, Mike. Get back on track. All right. But seriously, this is, are you willing to let God change you is one of the most important questions in your life that deals with sanctification. That's just a fancy word that says God is working on you. But your sanctification, how you become more like God, hinges on, are you willing to? Right, we've preached before when Jesus went into his hometown and he could only do a couple little small miracles. Everywhere else, he's like, you're blind, you can see. You can't hear? Well, listen to me now. And like, everything, can you hear me now? Anyway, so like he's doing incredible, incredible miracles. And he gets to his town, they're like, aren't you Joseph's kid? Like, who's this guy? And they literally hinder what Jesus wanted to do. And the Bible says, he healed a couple people, but that's about it. And that's sad, because God wants to do amazing things in your life. But he's a gentleman, so most of the time, every once in a while, he'll crack you over the head, but most of the time, he's a gentleman, and he's whispering to you, hey, I need you to be gentle, but you're angry, so I'm going to yell. Ah, you should whisper. You should be patient. You should be kind. You should have joy. You should focus on me. No. Are you willing? So as I say, are you willing to let God change you? Jesus at this time is saying something ridiculous, crazy. In the middle of John chapter 6, he says, I am the bread of life that comes from heaven. In other words, he's saying, I'm not like you guys. You guys, your families are here. You were born here. You're totally human. You're about this earth. You're about this world. I came from above. And at this point, a lot of people are like, what? Is he saying what I think he's saying? And he's like, he says it several times. Yes, I'm the bread of life. I come from above. The Father sent me here. Like, I'm from God. And so now they're like, what else do we need to listen to? This dude's flipping out. He's saying things that are not true. Now listen, he just got done doing an incredible, incredible miracle. And they knew. That's why they're following him around. Hey, do the bread thing again. Do the fish thing again. And he's like, no, you guys just want to see tricks. You want to eat what I have to give you, but you're not really willing to follow me. Huge difference. People like rock stars and movie stars can gather a crowd. But once the movie star, whoever is famous, says something that they don't like, the crowds are like, forget you. On to the next star. Right? That's how humans work. And Jesus doesn't mind that. So he says stuff that's weird on purpose. So you have to decide, am I going to follow God or am I going to do what I want to do? Again, are you willing to let God change you? And so here's what he says. I'm the bread that comes from heaven. Let's jump into John chapter 6, verse 29. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm going back. That's a different verse. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. I wanted to say that before I went into it. But anyway, let's read the part that we're supposed to do. John 6, 41. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. So they start arguing. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? But Jesus replied, stop complaining about what I said, for no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I, who was sent from God, have seen him. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I offer so the world may live, is my flesh. This is where he's starting to get crazy. Then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us flesh to eat? They asked. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate manna, but will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. So real quick, he says this like four or five times. I'm the bread that comes from heaven. And not only that, you have to eat my flesh. He says it over and over and over again. And you have to drink my blood. Now, there's a little bit of history that I'm going to bring into this. The Jewish people at that time, well, and today now too, they have to live purely, holy, set apart. And so that, in a lot of ways, had a lot to do with what you touched, what you ate, what you did, and specifically, do not touch blood. That makes you dirty. That makes you unholy quick, like instantly. So when Jesus says, you have to drink my blood, number one, if someone said that to you today, that's weird. Sometimes in religion, we get used to sayings, and we're like, yeah, we drink his blood and eat his body all the time, every Sunday. But I need you to know, that sounds crazy. That is absolutely weird. Are we supposed to be cannibals now? That is absurd. It's right? I mean, if I told you to eat some, like a skunk steak, you'd be like, no, that's gross. That's gross. Jesus is saying, you have to eat my body and drink my blood. That, at this time, even today, but at this time specifically with these people, that is ridiculous. It's asking them to go against what they've been taught for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. You never touch blood. You never touch blood. You never touch blood. And then this guy that's doing crazy miracles says, you have to drink my blood. Okay? The disciples, I'm sure, were like, what is he saying? What my client is saying it, like, they're starting to lawyer up, right? They're starting to try to explain away, but Jesus says it over and over and over again. No, I was sent from heaven. You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. What is he really saying here? What's really going on? And point number one, if you're taking notes, point number one is ask God for eyes to see and ears to hear. Ask God for eyes to see and ears to hear. I remember growing up, I think I was like fifth grade or sixth grade, I was studying pasteurization. And for whatever reason, it clicked in my head. It had something to do with milk. Well, milk, that comes from cows. Cows live in pastures. So pasteurization has something to do with the fact that cows are in pastures. And I remember my dad, he's like, no, there's a scientist, Louis Pasteur, there's a process with milk. Dad, no, no. Cows live in pastures, that's what this is about. And I can't, and like, what's funny is I asked him for help. Whatever. I asked him for help. And I'm like, Dad, I can't find it in the book. I can't find where this pasteurization is. And he's like, well, it's about the process of milk and like there's bacteria. And he's like, I'm like, Dad, it's not about bacteria. It's not about making milk, whatever it is. I can't find the place where the cows are in pastures and what that means. And he's like, no. And for whatever reason, I had so solidly connected that it has something to do with pastures that I could not receive what he was saying. Same thing with these guys. They had closed their eyes to what God is doing. They had closed their ears to what God is saying, and so they could not receive. How many of us do that? Right? So we have to start getting into the mode of slowing down, and when God does or says something really incredible, ridiculous, insane, slowing down and say, God, what are you doing? What's going on? What do you want to tell me? That is not natural. That's not how we operate. We operate like, well, I got to figure this out. Or I'm just saying no, right? So when he says this, if they don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, they're going to miss it, and they do. So let's check it out. John 6, 41 and 42. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, son of Joseph? We know his father and mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? I'm reminded of how Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And this is one of the leaders of religious thought. And he's one of the leaders of the Jewish people. He's like one of the smartest dudes. And Jesus is trying to break down how you become a follower of Jesus. How do you become a Christian? How do you get right with God? And he says, you have to be born again. And he was like, what? I got to crawl back into my mom? And like, what are you talking about? Right? That sounds absurd. That doesn't make any sense. Now, someone that has ears to hear, like, okay, what are you saying, Jesus? I want you to understand, question marks should be natural. It's what you do with those question marks. If you get closed off and say, no, that doesn't make sense, I'm out, that's bad. If you start to say, God, what are you saying? Because remember, this is Jesus. The guy that walks on water, he stops storms. Storm calm down. And it does. That's crazy. So if he says something crazy, you should go, hold on, this is the guy that becomes an instant Pizza Hut. Right? He can instantly become like, I'm just feeding 10,000 people here. No big deal. He probably didn't even break a sweat. Right? Just pass this stuff out. And then they have leftovers. What? If this guy is saying stuff, we should be listening and slowing down. God, what are you trying to say? Instead of fast-forwarding to try to figure out our own solutions, figure out our own problems. If you are looking for worldly clues and answers, you will miss spiritual truths. If you are looking for worldly clues and answers, you will miss spiritual truths. And that's what we do. I had this sermon done probably like Tuesday or Wednesday, I thought. And I said, God, this is super short. It's only like 18, 19 verses or whatever. And it's like the way I'm clocking this thing, I'll be done in like 12 minutes. Wednesday rolls around, nothing. Thursday rolls around, nothing. I'm like, all right, I guess I'm going to send it in. And Friday night, I get two dreams. And I don't know how you are about dreams, but usually I have a dream, I wake up, and then it's gone. Well, these two dreams, I think, happened somewhere around like 5 or 6 a.m. Maybe 4 or 5, I don't know. But anyway, I wake up at 6. And when I wake up at 6, this is my automatic response. Oh, too early. Go back to bed. That's my go-to. I get up at 7. That's what I do, Lord. You can't wake me up at 6. Yeah. And he goes, no, try to remember the dreams. And I'm like, as soon as I wake up, I'm already forgetting them. So I have to go, God, come on, like, they're just dreams. Wake up and write these down, because you know you're going to forget. So I'm like, okay, and I'm reading, going back through, and they have nothing to do with anything on the planet that I can think of. But I'm writing them down, and at the time, I just wrote them down. Not till Saturday afternoon sometime where God starts to go, all right, go look at the notes. Well, I'm about to have lunch, Lord. Like, this is lunchtime. This is what I do at 12. You are so messing with my schedule today. Why? And then he goes, what was like one of your first points? Are you willing to let you change me? Fine, I'll put the sandwich down or whatever. And so then I started looking at it, and I'll tell you the first dream. The first dream was over here, because again, I will forget, so I wrote it down. The first dream was me sitting in a restaurant. It's like a beautiful restaurant, and it's like a Saturday morning brunch kind of a thing. It's awesome, and I have two dear friends that support our family in many ways, and they took me out to breakfast. Why didn't they take Jen? I don't know. I don't know. I'll have to ask her later what she did to these friends. But anyway, so we're eating this beautiful brunch, and then the waiter comes out, and he gives him the check, and we did the whole thing. Like, well, do you want me to? Like, no, we told you we were taking you out. Oh, okay, you sure? And then I'm like, and what's funny is in the dream, I remembered I'm dreaming. I was like, why am I even arguing in a dream about, like, pretending to want to pay the, like, I don't want to pay the bill. Like, I can't even afford, because it was, like, super fancy. Like, I couldn't even afford it, I don't think. And so he takes the check, he writes it, sends it back, and the waiter comes back again with something like, I don't remember what it was, so forgive me for not knowing all the details, but it was something, like, really expensive, but, like, totally random, like a surfboard or something. And I just remember, like, what? And he's like, sir, we want you to have this. And my friend, he goes, oh, no, I wouldn't use that. We don't need that. Give it to somebody else that would want it. And I remember instantly getting offended, because I was like, well, I want it. And I'm like, I kind of want it, but he's already taken it away, and I don't want to, like, look like I really wanted it, you know, because I'm trying to be cool. And then all of a sudden I look at my friend. I was like, bro, what's going on? I would have given you $100 for that, and then we both would have been happy. And I'm like, ah, I'm just kidding. In my dream, I'm doing this. And then God just, in the dream, God stops me, and he's like, why'd you say that? And like, this is weird dream inside dream stuff. It was weird. I'm like, I don't know. I wanted the surfboard, and I was, and then I realized, oh, I was trying to manipulate my friend to always think about me when he has stuff to give away instead of what he wanted to do was give it. Like, so I'm manipulating my friend for my gain in my dream. This is really who I am. And so I was like, oh. And he's like, apologize. And I'm like, and I remember thinking, Lord, this is a dream. Can I just have a surfboard and go surfing? You're like, make this a cool dream. He's like, apologize. And I'm like, oh, man. And what's funny is, again, am I willing to let God change me? Even in dreams, it don't even matter. And so I said, hey, guys, I'm sorry. I'm kind of trying to use you for me and my gain. Like, I'm not even going to surf. I live in Chicago, you know, whatever. I just remember looking in, like, I don't even need that. I don't know why, but I wanted to manipulate you and say something to you so that you would want to serve me and I would get my way. And that's, you've already given me an amazing brunch. And here I am wanting more. I'm so sorry. And they forgave me and we were fine. And I was like, oh, that went pretty decently. Like, they're still my friends. Cool. And then I thought that was it. Like, that was the dream, right? Last night at like 10 o'clock, he goes, or at like 11, he says, hey, look at the story again. And I'm like, Lord, 11 o'clock is when I'm supposed to go to bed. You know, I've been trying to go to bed earlier and I don't ever make it, so I should go to bed. And he's like, bro, look at the notes. And I'm like, all right, so I'm looking at this thing, this dream about random brunch and weird item that I gave back and I wanted it and all this stuff. And he's like, that's what you do to your wife. And I'm like, oh, yeah, you're trying to manipulate. You say things to her. You plant little seeds so that she will serve you. It's about you, always about you. And I'm like, ah, okay. Luckily, she was asleep, so I didn't have to apologize to her right then. But she hasn't even heard the story, so I need to apologize later on today. But and then this morning, getting ready, again, somewhere around 6 or something like that. And I'm like, Lord. But now I've kind of gotten used to it. So I'm like, Lord, nah, you're right. I'm willing to let you change me. I'm going to preach on this later. I will get good at this. And so I said, what? And he's like, that's also what you do to me. And I'm like, ah, I'm sorry, Lord. I do. I try to manipulate you to get what I want. Like, I want more money. I want more stuff. I want a bigger house. I want a new car. I wanna. And I'm sorry, Lord. I'm here for you. I'm going to stop trying to manipulate you, you know. And he's like, okay, then you can preach a sermon. I'm like, okay, good, because I'm kind of on the schedule. Thanks. And man. But he took this one simple little dream and just went all over the place teaching all kinds of stuff. And I was like, oh, Lord. And here's the sad part. Most of the time, this is a time where I heard it, I listened to God, and started learning the things. Let's be honest. Most of the time when God whispers, we miss it. It was a dream, and God said, hey, write it down. I'm sleeping, and we skip that part. Or maybe we're obedient once, and then he wants to bring it back and teach you something deeper, and we forget it. That's what we usually do. And so my encouragement, this is not to beat us up. My encouragement is, hey, let's slow down and start living for God and start paying attention and allow him to change us, because it's only for our good and for his good. It's all good. It's hard, but it's all good. So let's start allowing him to change us. Point number one is ask God for eyes to see and ears to hear. Because if you're not in tune with him, we're going to miss it, right? Point number two, ask God to teach you. Ask God to teach you. If you're doing your own Bible studies on your own, you're going to miss 99% of it. And even the stuff you catch, you're going to use for your own glory, right? Ask God to teach you. Be at his feet. John 6, 43 through 46 says, but Jesus replied, stop complaining about what I said, For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that anyone has ever seen the Father, only I, who was sent from God, have seen him. He says something incredible. I am the bread from heaven, and they start complaining. Who is this guy? Don't we know his parents? He did not come from heaven. And he knows what they're complaining about in the crowd. Stop complaining. I'm telling us, stop complaining. That's hard. Because when life doesn't go right, that's like our first response, to complain to anybody to listen, right? And then especially to God. I've been serving you. I do setup. That's early. Right? I do. And God's like, oh, bro. Really? Is this about you again? Stop complaining about what I said. And he's like, look, the reason why you guys aren't hearing me is because God's not drawing you to me. For no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them to me. So if you feel far from God, start asking God, I'm sorry, please teach me. Please draw near to me. Come in humbleness. Don't get mad. Don't get frustrated. That's easy to say, hard to do. When we get frustrated, slow down and breathe and say, God, I'm sorry. You speak to me. Because when he's drawing you near to him, you can start listening. You can start hearing. You can start seeing correctly. If you're disconnected, the Bible says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you take a branch off of the main vine, it's going to die. It loses all life. It's not connected. The only way we have life is when we're connected, right? So beg God, God, please draw me near to you. You teach me. You show me. I know you love me, but I want to be close to you. Ask God for eyes to see and ears to hear, and ask God to teach you. And then, when he does, point number three is ask God to help you believe. Because it's one thing to receive information, then there's another thing to believe that it is good and right and you should do it. So point number three is ask God to help you believe. Once you believe, you can start to do stuff. You can start to, like, okay, the people that don't believe, if you don't believe something, you're not going to do it. But when you believe, you know what? Jesus is good and he's saying this. Okay, I'll do it. I'll try it. And then you get to taste how good it is. That's what Romans 12 says. You follow him with everything you've got, and then you will start to understand how good his plan really is for your life. If you don't walk through it, you won't taste how good it is. And I'm telling you, it's good. In John 6, 47 through 51, he says, I tell you the truth. Now, for Jesus to say, I tell you the truth, he's saying, listen, I know this sounds crazy, but I'm telling you the truth. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life. And guys, that's not just after we die. That's now. God wants to give you eternal life now. Yes, I am the bread of life. He's saying, you guys had manna. They died eating manna. It was an incredible miracle. Bread just showed up on the ground every day, and that's what you got to eat. Like, that was cool. In the middle of the desert, bread would just pop up. That's a cool trick. I love it. And he's saying, but they ate that. That wasn't the full promise. That wasn't everything. I am the full promise. I'm the one that gives life eternally. Receive that. Not them in the story, us. You, me. Receive. I am the bread of life. But some of you are spiritually super skinny and malnourished. I am super skinny and malnourished. I need to eat more. He didn't say, I only have a little bit. He just said, I'm the bread of life. Later on, he says, I give you life and I give it abundantly. In other words, you can't get enough of me. You can deny me, though. You don't have to eat me. So when he says, eat my flesh, he's saying, take more of me in. How many of us are not, like, he wrote a book to you. He wrote a book for you and me. But we're tired in the morning, so we don't want to read it. We're tired at night, so we don't want to read it. It takes some mental energy to digest, to chew on it, and I digest it, right? God, what are you saying to me in this? What's going on here? What's the truth? What do you want me to learn? It takes some effort. So some of us are skinny. Too skinny. We need to eat more. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. Like, I'm it. And again, that's weird. They're like, what are you saying? I have to eat your body? Point number four, don't argue about what he meant. So in John 6:52, then the people began arguing with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us flesh to eat? They asked. They're doing the same thing Nicodemus did. When Jesus said, you got to be born again. Well, what am I supposed to do? Crawl up in there? That's ridiculous. Really, you're the leader of my people? Okay. And he's like, look, I'm the bread of life. You take me in, you eat this. Now, if you slow down, okay, he just said something crazy. What are you saying? They just start arguing and rejecting, and what is he talking about? Right? Instantly, their hands are up. Stop. That's not the right posture. The right posture is, okay, Lord, what are you saying? What's going on? If you notice, none of the disciples get a fork. All right, let's eat them. Okay? Nobody starts to eat this guy. So then what are you saying, God? That's where I wanted to talk to you about John 6, I think it was 29. He told the answer before this. He said the answer. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants from you. And he's saying it to you now. This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent. That's how you take him in. Start studying him and start going, okay, that's hard to imagine, Lord. You calmed the sea with words. Waves, calm down. And they do. That's hard to take in. You walked on water. That's hard to take in. You fed 10,000 people with some fish and bread. That's hard to take in, Lord, but if that's what you're saying, I believe in you, I believe what you're saying, and you work miraculously, okay. I'm gonna try. Lord, help me in my unbelief. Help me. And you start walking with God like that. Don't start arguing and dividing. Man, that's one of the saddest things about churches in church history, especially in America. We just keep dividing. Well, the scripture says this. Well, I don't agree with you. Let's split. Boom. Division. It hurts. Jesus, I'm saying, point number four, don't argue about what he meant. Just take what he's saying and let's try and listen. God, what are you doing? And again, if you would have just looked, nobody was actually eating him, and he wasn't actually like, here's forks. Here, go. Let's do this. So he's not really saying eat his flesh. He's saying take more of me in. And the blood, that's a symbol of the covenant, the new covenant. This is how you get back to God. Allow God to play things out. We stop so much of what God's doing. When he says something crazy, don't argue about what he meant. Just try and listen more. He does not need you to understand it all. We're not that important. He loves us, but we are not that important. Ask God for eyes to see and ears to hear. Ask God to teach you. Ask God to help you believe. Don't argue about what he meant. And number five, we've been saying it over and over, eat his flesh and drink his blood. Take more of Jesus in. There's a buffet, and you're sitting at the table because you don't want to get up. Can you imagine a beautiful buffet? Just imagine whatever you like. I like seafood, I like all, just whatever you like. Just put that on your buffet, and you're just too tired to get up. That's ridiculous. Maybe your buffet is all Oreos, whatever it is, whatever your buffet is. But you're just like, I'm not going to go there. Now, the thing is, if it was food, we would get up. That's the sad part. If it's food, we would get up. Some of us 3, 4, 5 times. We get gluttonous about it, right? But for Jesus, like, I'm tired. It's hard. It's, come on, guys. We have to take him in, eat his flesh, and drink his blood. 53 through 59 says, so Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. He says this phrase again, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person at the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that came down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. He said these things while he was teaching the synagogue. He's saying these things in the middle of where God's word is supposed to be received. And they're having a hard time receiving it. But I'm asking you a question. Do you really believe Jesus is the bread of life? Amen. But we have to say amen here on Sunday mornings, and we have to say amen on Monday mornings. At night when you're super tired and God calls you to pray for somebody, whatever it is that God's calling you to do, we have to keep saying amen then. God, we need you. So much of our lives, we depend on our jobs and our paychecks. God did something incredible on Tuesday. Monday night, I heard going home, I heard some weird sounds in my van. So I was like, all right, tomorrow I'm going to go to an auto shop right around the place where I work, take it in there, just ask them what the damage is going to be, and then I'll walk to work and see what they say. And long story short, the guy called me at like 1 o'clock and was like, yeah, there's about $4,400 worth of repairs. And I'm like, the car's worth $3,000, bro. And so I'm like, oh, man. And so I got to get back to you. I'm not sure what. Until I get back to you, figure out what's the stuff I really need to do and then what's the stuff that I should probably do in the next 6 months or a year or whatever. And he's like, okay. Called back around like 2 or whatever it was. And he's like, we got it down to about $2,300. I'm like, that's still a lot of money. All right, I'm not going to be able to do anything today. I'll just walk over, pick it up. Is there anything like I'm going to die? He's like, no, you can drive for like, but you really do need to take care of this. I'm like, okay. So I just say, God, what are you doing? Like, I'm trying to live for you, and like we're getting right financially, and then now like $2,300, that's a lot. And oh, by the way, I called back. I said, can you shave it off anymore? He's like, yeah, we can get it down to $1,992. I was like, well, that's still $2,000. This is you. You have to do something. Okay, you got to provide, because I don't have $2,000 just sitting around. And hung up the phone, went to work, finished work, walked over, got the car around 5 o'clock. And this is how dumb your pastor is, okay? It's around 5 o'clock. It's only been 2 hours. I get a phone call, lady from California, and she says, hey, Mike, how you doing? And she doesn't usually call, so I'm like, oh, gosh, something's bad, what's going on? And she says, hey, how's the church? And I was like, why are people in California asking about the church? It's okay, you know, we're doing all right, you know, give her some good news, give us, you know, things that we're struggling with, and okay, how are you guys doing? We're okay, I mean, Jen's still, you know, she's hurting still, but, you know, we're okay, the kids are all right, I'm doing all right. Why are you calling? And she goes, well, I got this job a while back, and I'm like, you got a job? Why are you calling me? She's like in her 60s. No, she's in her 70s. Why are you calling about a job you had a couple years ago? I had a job a couple years ago, and there's a little pension. And anyway, long story short, I have about $2,000 that I want to, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with it. I'm telling you, I'm a knucklehead. I'm like, I don't know. Well, let me pray about it. I'd already forgotten in two hours that I need $2,000, and this just came up today. Is that this is actually awesome? Good timing, Lord. No, I was like, well, you know, because I feel weird just receiving two. Like, I don't want to be like, yeah, send it down. Like, so I feel weird, but I completely forgot what God's doing. Anyway, so I was like, let me pray about it, and she's like, okay, we hung up. And like later that night, 6 or 7, whatever it is, I pray. I was like, oh yeah, God, with the call today, 2,000, what do you want to do? And it was almost like he slapped me in the face, like, and was laughing at me at the same time. He's like, man, you the car. I'm like, the car. Oh, the car, yeah. Yeah, oh, in 2000, oh yeah. And so I had to call her back the next day because it's, you know, I wanted to not call that night. I told her I was going to call the next day. So I called the next day. I was like, hey, remember 2000? Yeah. You hear anything? Yeah. He kind of laughed at me. I'm so sorry. I actually knew the answer, and I just forgot completely, and so I'm apologizing. But yes, it would be very appreciated. Like, that morning, I took my car, and literally it's $1,992. So if you give me, you know, 2,000, I guess I get $8 for lunch or something. I didn't say that. But it was just kind of like, oh, man. She's like, oh, praise God. I'm like, I know, he's amazing. She's like, you want to hear something crazier? I'm like, what? I guess he's been planning this for like over a year because I've known about this money for over a year, but it kept getting delayed, and like they tried to send it to me and then it wouldn't happen and all this stuff. And like, right? So I just found out I got the money on, like, she said a couple days ago. And then I've been trying to call you, but stuff kept happening, so I kept putting off calling you until Tuesday afternoon. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. God's been planning this for a long time. Right? And God takes care of us. He's been planning what you're going to go through since the beginning of eternity. Mm-hmm. But we don't trust him. Isn't that crazy? He had a $2,000 check ready a year ago for Tuesday. And I'm still questioning, God, do you understand how my life's going? You sure you want me to get up and write this dream down? He's been planning my life forever. Right? But we all do it. Man, we are spiritually malnourished. And the buffet's right there. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. Jesus told them, this is the only work God wants you to do. Believe in the one he has sent. Once you start believing, he's going to guide you and everything's taken care of. Right? Is it going to be easy? We've never preached that. We've never preached it's going to be easy. But God's saying, believe in me. Then stuff starts to straighten out, okay? And you can have life now. So talking about eating his flesh, drinking his blood, I'm going to ask Darren to come back up here, lead us in worship. That's another way, by the way, we take him in. We listen to the words and we sing it back to him. That's another way of connecting to God. But another way that Jesus himself led and taught and commanded us to do, he said, the night before he's about to get taken, he breaks bread and shares it with his disciples. And he says, this is the bread. It represents my body. It's going to be crucified. It's going to be ugly. But this is my body. This is the sacrifice. Okay? And take this wine. We have juice, I believe. Right? Juice, right? I think so. If it's wine, great. Don't do too much. But this is the wine. This is my blood. Taken in remembrance of me. This is the new covenant. This is how you get right with God. Because I shed my blood for you. This is how you get right with God. Take it and eat it. Take it and drink it. If you have said, God, you are the boss of my life. If you want to do that right now, you can do that. Just pray and say, God, I do believe in you. And I do want you to be the boss of my life. That's how you become a Christian. That's the beginning. If you've done that, this is a time where you take in Jesus' blood and Jesus' body. That's what he meant the whole time. But he was saying it crazy so that people had to decide. And the same decision is today. You take the elements to the right and to the left. If you say you're a believer, you guys can go over and do that now.